BadQuaker.com audio article for Monday, September 26th, 2011, by Ben Stone. Medical Economics. Between January and the end of May 2011, two people I know very well went through medical screenings, tests, and a minor surgical procedure, none of which were considered voluntary. All parties involved had high-quality medical insurance, partly paid for by their employer, a well-respected international company. In each case, the insurance carrier approved of every service provided by the medical professionals in advance. And yet, at every stage along the way, the price the medical professionals charged for their services exceeded the amount the insurance provider would allow, leaving a balance the patient was left paying. Before going further, let's get some basic economic facts out of the way. 1. If an insurance company doesn't put a cap on the amount they're willing to pay for a product or service, it will quickly go out of business because there's nothing to keep the product service provider from charging into infinity. 2. If an insurance company doesn't require the insured to pay some kind of copay or partial payment, it will slowly go out of business because there's no motive for the insured to conserve and or use the product's services in moderation. The insured will be motivated to, quote, get their money's worth, and they will overuse the product service that the insurance company pays for. 3. The insurance company is motivated to make as much profit as possible. 4. The product service provider, healthcare, is motivated to make as much money as possible. 5. The insured, the patient, is motivated to get the most, best product service possible for the least money spent. 6. The price the insurance company will charge for insurance will be the most it can get given the market in which it competes. 7. The product service provider will charge the insurance company as much as the insurance company is willing to pay. 8. Above and beyond what the insurance company will pay, the product service provider will charge the insured patient as much as the insured patient is willing to pay. 9. The portion of the insurance that the employer pays on behalf of the insured patient is simply wages the employer would pay either way. And 10. Ultimately, 100% of the money the insurance company handles and 100% of the money the product service provider charges is paid by the insured patient. Since the insured patient is the only one injecting money into the formula and the only one consuming the product service. Now please take special note of the last three facts. Sometimes we get confused by benefits we receive from our employer, but all benefits an employer pays to an employee are simply wages, and if the employee paid zero in insurance benefits, the market in labor would drive them to pay that same amount in some other form. So all benefits are wages, no matter what the tax man says. The above 10 facts should be beyond dispute and rather obvious to the casual observer. What may not be quite as obvious is the fact that the government interferes on a myriad of levels, distorting the prices at each phase of this process. And since so many layers of costs are hidden by the confusion provided by the insurance company, the employer, and the government, the insured patient never knows how much they're ultimately paying for the product service. Therefore, the product service costs far more than the insured patient would be willing to pay if they actually knew the real price. At this point in the conversation, a fallacy needs to be exposed and dealt with. Rather than laying out a 4,000-word essay on price determination or insisting my reader spend a few hours reading Man, Economy, and State by Murray Rothbard, I shall say outright that the price of anything in the market is based squarely on what the customer is willing to pay. It has nothing to do with the cost of the good or service. As a matter of fact, the cost is determined by the price, not the other way around. Let me read that again. The cost is determined by the price, not the other way around. Unless you're familiar with Austrian economics, this may sound backwards to you because the socialist economists have spent the last 120 years teaching the public to think backwards. But the fact remains that if the market supplies anything at a price the consumer judges to be too high, that product service will not be purchased and the seller will lower the price or go out of business. If the cost of production and distribution are so high that the seller cannot provide a price the consumer will pay, the market will force innovation or invention and drive the cost down to a consumer-pleasing level. Therefore, the price of healthcare is determined by what the consumer is willing to pay, not what the healthcare costs the industry to provide. The only way to get a higher price from the consumer than they're willing to pay is to deceive the consumer by hiding part of the price. Now think about an automotive purchase. You go in and talk to a dealer. You find the car you want, you agree to a price. When the smoke and mirrors all fade away and it's time to write the check, how often is the check written for the same amount as the original price you agreed? Somehow, the slick salesperson has convinced you of a different price than you agreed to in the beginning. Now, imagine if that same car purchase were arranged through an agreement between your employer, an insurance company, and a car dealer, well, heavily regulated and controlled by several agencies of the Department of Motor Vehicles, the Department of Transportation, and the FTC. Don't you think they would all find ways to hide some of the price and take some of the plunder for themselves? So then, we're driven to a set of conclusions. One, the price of healthcare is far higher than the consumer can determine because the employer-insurance-company relationship and the government hide a large portion of the price. Two, the cost of providing healthcare is far higher than it would be otherwise because of the abundance of personnel required by the employer, the insurance company, various government agencies, and the personnel that the healthcare provider needs to deal with each of these other players. Three, this is important. Pay attention to this one. Three, 100% of the price, both hidden and not hidden, of healthcare is paid by the consumer. Four, no matter any other factors listed above, the price of healthcare will not and cannot exceed what the patient is willing to pay unless part of that price is hidden. Now for the unsettling part of this article. When contemplating the price of healthcare, the average consumer will not consider the months and years they pay for health insurance without ever using it. Neither will they consider the portion of their insurance costs that their employer pays on their behalf. They will look at their pay stub or their pay records, and they will imagine no more than a month or two of insurance premiums, along with the actual out-of-pocket amount they will pay to the healthcare provider and the cost of losing a day's pay to go to the doctor. Let's call this amount the true price because it is the price as the consumer sees it. This true price is the actual price the consumer would be willing to pay if not for the price distortions. Now brace yourself. This true price is what the healthcare provider would charge if not for the market distortions. Remember what Rothbard said above. Real life examples. Names changed and amounts rounded off, but otherwise based on actual examples. Mary is of an age that she must endure a particular health screening process. Her employer's human relations representative tells her the procedure is covered by her health insurance, and she really needs to get it done. Here's a breakdown of the complete price of the healthcare screening. Two separate appointments requiring 2 half-days missed from work, equaling $200, wages lost. Copay and payments not covered by insurance, $350. Payment covered by the insurance provider, $750. Payments made to the insurance company by Mary over the years, unseen, indeterminable, but vast. Cost of government intrusion into the healthcare market, unseen, far more than humanly imaginable. Now let's look at the price as Mary sees it. Two separate appointments requiring 2 half-days missed from work, $200. Actual out-of-pocket, $350. Deductions from pay for insurance for 1 month, $100. Total, $650. That's it. $650 would be the fair market price for the screening, if not for the market distortions. Now, let's look at Mary's daughter, Jane, who had an involuntary minor outpatient surgery. 1 1/2 days of work missed for the screening and procedure, and a weekend spent at home recovering, $300. Copay and payments not covered by insurance, $950. Deductions from pay for insurance for 1 month, seen by Jane, $100. Payment covered by the insurance provider, unseen, $4,750. Payments made to the insurance company by Jane over the years, unseen, indeterminable, but vast. Cost of government intrusion into the healthcare market, unseen, and far more than humanly imaginable. The fair market price for Jane's procedure without market distortions, $1,350. In the long run, vast amounts of unseen money is taken from Jane and Mary and goes to support a bloated government bureaucracy, an entire insurance industry that exists purely because of the government intervention in the market, and a wasteful, ineffective healthcare industry that expends more money in legal defense and public image management than medical research or actual medical caregiving. The impressive facility where the real-life Jane and Mary had their examinations and procedures includes a rotunda and a multi-story indoor atrium featuring a grand piano, a waterfall, and contemporary art throughout the building. The parking lot has attendants that prowl the lot in vehicles like you might see at an airport, offering rides up to the entrance where a doorman greets you and offers his services to get you to your appointment on time. As you pass the doorman, another attendant awaits with further offers of assistance. As you move through an architectural dream only slightly less opulent than the palaces of Versailles, gazing out through walls of glass at the manicured landscape, it's hard not to wonder what a CT scan machine costs compared to the cost of keeping all those windows crystal clear. Perhaps a free market would provide funding for such outlandish medical complexes, but I would be just as likely to believe that a free market would provide drive-up services for most doctor appointments and basic in-home nursing in 30 minutes or less with a simple phone call. And medical insurance would focus more on the big expenses and long-term care and less on robbing you and your employer for years' worth of payments. For more articles and podcasts on liberty, the zero aggression principle, and property rights, go to badquaker.com. And thank you for listening.